In Revelation chapter 7, there seems to be a discrepancy because they use different names for the 12 tribes of Israel. And Brother Jim asked me about it, and so I want to give a little explanation for that. The Bible says, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and these were sealed on 144,000, the tribes of children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah was sealed 12,000, the tribe of Reuben was sealed 12,000. People say, how come Judah's up to the front? All right, good question. And of the tribe of Reuben was sealed 12,000. The tribe of Gad was sealed 12,000. The tribe of Asher was sealed 12,000. The tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Joseph. Tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. That's usually we don't hear about Joseph because his two boys are set in there. And the tribe of Benjamin are sealed 12,000. And of course, Benjamin was the youngest of all. And so he's on it now. So there's, when I was studying this, I went through a whole bunch of people. And there's generally accepted, no general exception explanation for these 12 tribes are named like this. In the Old Testament, the tribes named 10 Jacob's and 12 sons. The tribes are named for 10 of Jacob's 12 sons: Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, and the two sons of Joseph was Manasseh and Ephraim. And the two of Jacob's sons, Levi and Joseph, they're not in the tribes' names. And in the list of Revelation chapter 7, Levi and Joseph are named as tribes. Dan and Ephraim are not listed. Some believe that the tribe of Ephraim appeared under the name of Joseph, and the tribe of Dan is entirely omitted, a fact possibly due to their falling away. Dan's tribe was very idolatrous, and God just took their name out of there. And there is no explanation. The order of names is generally assumed that Judah named first because who came from that tribe? Tribe of Judah. Who came from the tribe of Judah? Jesus Christ. Here you go, Jim. Here's my homework for you. Here's my homework that you gave me. All right, you bet. All right, chapter 8. This is an exciting chapter. Take your NyQuil and hang on. I mean, and just watch out. Just relax because this is something else. And let's all stand, Revelation, if you can, if you possibly stand. Give honor to the Word of God. Revelation chapter 8, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." Now, I know that everybody makes fun about that, says, "Well, see, there's no women in heaven, because no women can stay quiet for a half hour. That's not very nice." And I love to hear ladies speak, and we won't use that. I just want to throw that out for you to enjoy. Amen. "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. To them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God and out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and he filled it with fire of the altar and cast it upon the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and there was followed hail and fire mingled with blood, that they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burned up. Or was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain. I want you to catch that now. As it were. As it were. All right. As it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and fell upon the third part of the river, and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the water became wormwood, and many men died of the water because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets and the three angels which are yet to sound." I don't know about you, but I am sure glad I'm going to be in heaven. This is not good stuff. This is some pretty powerful stuff. And I hope I can render some of this to you and encourage you to look up for your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is coming. And He's coming soon. And I'm excited about it. He can come today. John wrote Revelation, the last part of it. He said, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly." And that's my prayer. That's my prayer. Father, I pray You'd help us. Lord, this is some pretty powerful stuff. Lord, I just feel so anemic when I start to think about the things that You gave us and telling what's going on. Lord, help us tonight. Would You fill me with the Holy Spirit of God and help me, Lord, give me light from the Word of the Holy Spirit to teach this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thus far, we have seen the opening of six of the seven seals. And the seals contain punishment that men had brought upon himself. It's no fault of anyone else but themselves. We are living in a age that people will not take responsibility. It's always somebody else's fault. If you fail your class, that was the teacher's fault. Or if you run into somebody, it had to be a manufacturer fault. Or your gun goes off, it had to be there's just something wrong with that. And it's on and on and on and on. And it's no one else's fault that the judgment of God is coming upon this earth except for the people the way they've lived. The trumpet begins the judgment of God. And with the judgment, He will inflict judgment upon man. And it's because they have asked for it. They're unwilling to acknowledge Him as God. They're unwilling to acknowledge Him as the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They acknowledge speak about the Holy Spirit. They think it's all a bunch of junk. Think it's a crutch. People laugh at it. But one of these days, it's going to come true. Everything from the beginning of time you can correlate that with the Word of God. It is just perfect. It just keeps coming and coming. And so I hope tonight that you are wise enough to take the Word of God and understand that Jesus is coming. Now, the seventh seal contains seven trumpets. And in other words, the seven trumpets are what we would call the seventh seal. That we went through the six seals, but now the seventh seal is open, and this is the trumpet, and there's going to be seven trumpets there. When you come to chapter 8, the choir suddenly stops. And when he had opened the seventh seal, There was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. For several chapters before, we've had the choir, we had people rejoicing, we had people coming before the throne of God and rejoicing. Now it's quiet, stopped. I don't know if you've ever been around great choirs, but all of a sudden, sometimes the quiet choir would just stop, it just stopped, no sound, and it's almost deadening. I mean, you're like, whoa, what was that? You know, and if you're sleeping, you wake up, amen, you're, what was that? You know, half hour. The Bible said a half hour. That's what happened here. Four living creatures, hundreds of millions of angels, saints of all ages, stop. They're singing. Imagine that. Why does the singing and rejoicing stop? Simply because the most horrible thing that has ever happened is about to happen. The trumpet is about to sound. The silence is breathless. It's a gasp of horror. For about 30 minutes, all the choirs of heaven gasped in horror, and the music stopped for a breathless moment of silence. Then we go to verse 2. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. In the midst of silence, we see seven angels appear. And they're about to blow seven trumpets. If you would read Numbers chapter 10, verse 1 through 9, you would see several things that trumpets were used for. Number one, the trumpets were blown for the gathering of the feast. That's when you knew it was time to eat. Amen. When I was a little boy, we had a bell. We had a bell our house. And then close to the garage. And boy, that dinner bell rang. Boy, that meant you get home. You get fast as you can. Daddy says, don't you ever make your mama wait to feed you, boy. Don't you ever do that. That's why I have such a great physique today. Because, boy, I tell you, the bell rang and I'm running. Amen. So the bell also says mom and dad wanted something. Oh, mama, get out there and just crank that bell. The ding, 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 ding. You knew something's wrong. You better get there, amen. So, first of all, they used it for the gathering of the feast. When Jesus comes to rapture his church, the trumpet will gather us to the wedding feast and the marriage of the Lamb. That is going to be some feast, amen. That's the trumpet. Second trumpet was the gathering for war. Gathering for war. The same trumpet that gathered for the great feast hurls the remaining people into a terrible war. And it's going to be unbelievable. We're not going through it. Hallelujah. And I have a question for you to ponder. What will the trumpet sound mean to you? It's going to mean war? Or is it going to mean the feast? I hope it's the feast. You need to make that, taking care of that right now. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And the third thing that trumpet blowed was for anointing of a king. This is a big deal. And they didn't have Facebook, and they didn't have, you know, telegraph, telephone. They did have telewomen, but anyway, it's supposed to be funny. Can I help you out there? Telephone, telewomen, amen. Thank you. And they didn't have magazines, they didn't have newspapers, they didn't have teletype. They had nothing except word of mouth. I saw a cartoon the other day, and this guy is sitting there, and he's smoking a pipe. And a Native American behind him says, "Hey, I don't like what you're talking about. I don't like what you talk. I don't like your talk," or something like that. Guy puffing. Okay, all right. I thought it was funny. So when Jesus comes back, he's going to come back as what? King. For his first time he came as a what? Savior. But now he's going to come back as a king. He established his reign of peace for 1,000 years. We shall be his subject. And the sounding of the trumpet means the king is coming. The king is coming. Look at verse 3. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, and he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. What could the prayers of the saints have to do with this great event? Simply this. This even has to do with the heartthrob of all Christian saints praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Far too many prayers, people don't realize how important they are to God. When you pray this prayer, you are asking God to hasten His days. When Jesus was reigning as King over the earth, His kingdom, we're praying that, Lord, thy kingdom come. Boy, wouldn't it be great if God just set up His kingdom right now? Boy, it's straightened out a lot of this crazy tomfoolery and ignorance. Boy, I can't. It makes me so mad. We're paying those people to do those that job, and they're not doing it. All right, I'm done. These trumpets are the beginning of the answer to prayer. This interesting thing is taught here that God is recording our prayers. He's recording the prayers of the saints. This should make us resolve to pray more than ever. You are making a recording on God's answering machine and His recording machine, you're praying to Him. He's listening to you. I'm amazed as I read the scripture where the Bible talks about how that when we cry, He puts our teardrops in a bottle. Isn't that amazing? So the troubles and heartaches and sorrows that we go through, He knows. And He's keeping track of those. Don't you think that your life is not important? Don't you think that you're not special to God? If He keep your prayers, your tears, and He also records your prayers, what an amazing thing. I was thinking about that as I stand. I said, good night. I said, when I get to heaven, I don't know how it's going to happen. But we're going to stand before God at the Bema Seat, before Jesus. And we're going to give account what we've done good and we've done bad. And He said that we'll get rewarded with gold and silver and precious stones or wood, hay, and stubble. I don't understand that. Maybe He's got a place to just look up there and it shows you all the time that we prayed. God have mercy. Chapter 4 and 5. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there was voices, thundering, lightning, and earthquake. You will remember that the altar is what we call the place of the substitute. It's a type of the cross. The fire consumed the substitute. You remember that God asked Abraham to substitute or to burn his son, sacrifice his son. You remember that? He was a substitute. But all of a sudden, what did he see? A ram caught in the thicket. Amen? And there was his substitute. All the Old Testament is trying to get us the fact that there is a coming of Jesus Christ, a Jeshua Yamashiach. There is coming the Messiah, and He is going to come, and He's going to die for us. He is going to be the substitute for me, substitute for you. You don't have to go to hell and burn there forever. Jesus Christ came to be the substitute. So the altar always illustrates the substitute. The fire consumed the substitute, but since those upon the earth at this time are those who failed, they failed to accept the substitute, and the angel, the Bible says, throws a fire to the earth. Either man accepts a fire upon the substitution, or he must suffer the fire of hell itself. Yeah, I want you to look at that word cast. That word cast means to throw or to hurl. I use that word Sunday about in war they throw things, and you can hear the noise of that battle gear and the weapon they're using, And that's the kind of idea, that noise. And now we hear the noise start again. Just as the sun is stopping the noise of the awesome, we shall be suddenly, it'll be sudden lightning and thundering and earthquake. Be awesome. When I was a little boy, I was never scared of lightning. I was never, or thunder. I was never scared of that. Because that meant that we didn't have to work out on the farm. Isn't that a terrible thing? Man, I love thunder. Man, when I hear that, boom, yeah! We ain't going to work. And get muddy and dead, so now you go work in the field, wreck, you know, hurt the field. And so wait till it dries off. Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. Just as the sudden stopping of the noise is awesome, the sudden lightning, the thunder, and then it says the earthquakes. How many have been in an earthquake? How many have heard the earthquake? That ground grinding, it's an incredible thing. The voices in this verse are probably voices of horror and crying and terror and some coming of the awful trumpets. Number 6. And the seven angels, which had seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Now, we prepare ourselves to see what could be horrible as to cause such a concern. In next verse, we will see what the trumpets are and why they cause millions to gasp in horror. Behold, before us stand the seven angels with seven trumpets. Heaven's rejoicing. Now it's silent. Why? Because of the awfulness of the blowing of the trumpets was going to bring destruction immediately. The angels are ready to sound their trumpets. The first one is sounded. Please note that it said prepared. It means they were prepared by appointment. They had a job to do. They were ready to do their job. In other words, God had appointed these things to happen, and they were, and they will happen. You're not going to get away with. You know, I hear so many people say, "Oh, this ain't going to happen." Oh, yes, it is. God is. I used to tell my boys, if they ain't quit, I said, "You're going to have a fight, and I'm going to win." I tell them that. You keep that up, and we're going to have a fight, and I'm going to win. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? How many have daddies like that? Amen. Thank God for daddies like that. Amen. Hey, it's going to be a war, and I'm winning. So you might as well stop right now. Quit your fussing. Just stop right now. God said that this is going to happen. He has given us the Word of God. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is truth. God will not lie, and this is what God said is going to happen. You can't get out of it. So, this prepared means it's pointed. See, God's train is always on schedule. Always on schedule. It's not our schedule, it's His schedule. And when He says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Verse 7, and the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up. Third part of what? Of where? Of the world. One third part. I think that there's going to be some environmentalists going to be ticked off. Amen. One third of the trees. They're going to be burnt up. And all green grass was burned up. All green grass. Not some. Not a third, but all. The first trumpet brings hail and fire mingled with blood, and it burns up a third part of the trees and all the grass. Some skeptical teachers, some ignoramus, preachers and seminary teachers said that this is just symbolizing the entire thing. They say the trees are like great men, like teachers and doctors, and say that the grass means people in general. So when they say that, that means that the earth, the church is still at the earth, on earth. We don't see the earth. We don't see the church on earth after chapter 4. When the Bible says trees, it means trees. When the Bible says grass, it means grass. When the Bible says earth, it means earth. Then there are Bible skeptics that say that all of the hail and the fire, etc., are just symbolics. And that such as couldn't really happen. Well, it did happen before. How about the plagues that God sent to the Egyptians? And there are records of that. And brought similar things to them. Moses, in Exodus chapter 9, 23 and 24, Moses stretched forth his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunders and hail and fire, ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt, and there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And God said it's going to happen. He also said in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 7, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, who brought up, and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." Has that happened? Well, yeah. 1949. Verses 8 and 9. The second angel. So we got half of the, we got a third of all the trees burned up. We got all the grass burned up. Now we're coming in the second angel. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain. Now I want you to catch that now. Here's a similarity, okay? As it were. It didn't say it was a mountain, but it's like a mountain, as it were, all right? It's very important to catch those things. Burning with fire and cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures, which are in the sea, had life, died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. So, when the Titanic met her grave, Davy Jones Locker, what did the world do? They went crazy. Ship went down. There was a ship down in, down by, Atlantic, down south here, and that ship went down. People just went crazy. Let me tell you something, one third of all the ships are going down. So who's going to rescue these people? Do they have big rescue squads go after these people to help them? Absolutely. One third. And also, one third of the sea is going to be what? Blood. Oh my goodness, what a mess. What a mess. And what about the sea creatures? A third of the sea creatures. When I was a pastor in Delavan, Minnesota, we don't know what happened. This one lake that had great fishing in, all the fish died in that lake. And that spring, when the ice broke up, you could smell that for miles. What is that? Phew! That dead, stinking, rotten fish. That's what it is, amen. So, can you imagine? One third of all the creatures in the earth are dead. I mean, in water are dead. So the second trumpet sounds, which brings an object to that we now note this, as it were, like. Let me show you that there are something in Revelation that the writer will say it was like. That means there, it's a symbol of. It was like a burning mountain. Had to be a pretty big one, amen? That fell into the, and burning. And so it was like. So he's saying this is what it looks like. Kind of, we're not sure, but anyway. And not a real actual mountain. As it were, a great mountain was cast in the sea and turned one-third of the sea to blood. Some try to symbolize this and say that the mountain is that thing or another, and the blood stands for something else, and the sea was never actually turned to blood. What are you talking about? Didn't God say it in the Word of God? His Word is truth. If we could talk to Pharaoh today, he'd probably say, yep, that's what happened. And during the time of Moses trying to get me to let his people go. And yeah, it happened. I saw it. And Exodus chapter 7, verse 19, 20 talks about that. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch forth thy hand upon the water of Egypt and upon the streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, upon their pools of water, that they may become blood, that there may be blood throughout the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, and the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the water that were in the rivers and in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the rivers turned to blood. Anybody been around a real terrible accident? And you go look at the car four days later and smell that blood? Oh my goodness. There's that iron smell. You'll never forget it, I'll guarantee you that. Warren Worsby says that he believes that one reason the word blood is mentioned here is that God is going to constantly remind them that they could have escaped their awful time had they accepted the blood of Jesus. Also, the third part of the life of the sea was died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. One ship is destroyed. Get some pretty good headlines of disaster help and so on. Imagine a third of the ships being destroyed. Who's going to help them? There's no help. That's why it's so important to get saved. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Verses 10, 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. See, there it is again. Burning what? As it were. Okay. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the water because they were made bitter. One third of the water was like wormwood. Wormwood is very bitter. It's intoxicating and it's poisonous. It paralyzes and kills. Imagine one-third of the water supply turned that way, the most bitterest herb known to man. You see everybody sucking plastic bottles now, don't you? Everybody's got a bottle in their hand. They're drinking water, you know. They have to have their water. Can you imagine? Why would God do this? Why would He do that? Could it be that it's because of the bitter gall that remember that they tried to get Jesus taken to Calvary? The word has always been bitter toward Jesus. The world hates Him. And they will receive their desert. They'll receive their justice. So when you get so upset with some people that are acting very foolish and very ignorant and cursing your God and using it, you know, I hear people using the Lord's name in vain. I like to just grab a hold of them and shake them and say, you don't even believe in Him. Why are you using my Savior's name like that for? What's the deal with you? What did you say you're an atheist? Well, then why don't you say, blankety-blank atheist? Atheist. DMMN. You? Ever hear anybody say that? Oh, but boy, they sure use my God's name in vain. I'll stand up to them and say, ha! I say, you didn't talk like that. You're talking about my Savior. You're talking about the one that saved my soul. You're talking about the one that's going to come get me. Why are you talking like that? Why are you talking like that? You know, I can put up with their other stuff, but blowing these in my Lord's name in vain, I really have a hard time with that. I really do. I hear Christians use God's name in vain. What in the world is wrong with you? That symbol, OMG, that just frog lips me. I'm telling you what. I'm going to put that on. I see some things, some pretty funny stuff, but I'm very careful when I read them, and sometimes I may miss it, but I'll read that whole thing before I share it, you know. I saw something the other day, really funny, but the guy had to use a bad word in it. That is the funniest thing I heard. And then right then he used the bad word. I said, no, I ain't going to do that. Why does God do this? Could it be that he's showing them that I was real? Verse 12. The fourth angel sounded, the third part of the sun was smitten. Can you imagine? This morning I got up real early, the sun wasn't up yet, and all of a sudden here it come. And beautiful. Can you imagine the third part of that sun being gone? Third part of the moon? Third part of the stars? Third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. This brings the blowing of the fourth trumpet. It brings a partial darkness over all the earth. Verse 13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying to the midst of the heaven and saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voice of the trumpets and the third angel, the three angels which are yet to sound. This angel that comes is warning the earth dwellers of the third remaining plagues which are to come. And if you, when you study this, you'll find out the plagues are getting worse. God wants to get their attention. You know, some of you have children. Some children, you can get their attention really good. Now other children, I don't know, they selective hearing, they're deaf. I don't know what's going on in them. Kind of like my dog. He wants to come to me when I got a treat. When I don't have a treat, he looks at me like, nanny, nanny, poo, poo. And he's getting out, he won't run out the door. It's pretty nice. He took off the other door and, you know, come in there for a little bit. And he took off and I said, hey, get back in there. He looked at me like, he speaks with authority. And he came back in. I was like, hey, man, I like that. Hey, man. So, hey, I turned that thing.